Welcome back to CyberShield Weekly. I'm Alex, and joining me as always is Sarah, our resident cybersecurity analyst. It is Tuesday, July 27th, 2026, and this is Volume 1, Issue 44.
Hey everyone, great to be back. And I have to say, this week's threat landscape is genuinely one of the more interesting ones we've covered in a while. There's a lot happening.
There really is. This week, we are digging into a sandbox escape vulnerability in a popular automation tool that essentially handed attackers the keys to the server. We're covering a phishing campaign that's impersonating Microsoft Teams updates to plant remote access software inside your network. We've got a sophisticated piece of malware using techniques that most security tools simply can't see. And we're looking at a new GitHub feature that quietly might be one of the most important supply chain improvements in months.
We're also going to talk about something that affects every small business owner listening, a zero-click phishing campaign backed by Russian state actors that your employees don't even have to interact with to trigger. That one is particularly sobering.
Plus our tech tip, and we have a great segment from the CTO's desk. Daniel Ramos from Intelligent Automation weighs in on the bigger strategic picture. So let's get into it. All right, Sarah, top threats. Let's start with N8N. For listeners who have never heard of N8N, give them the 30-second version.
Sure. N8N is a workflow automation platform. Think of it like a digital assembly line for your business processes. You connect different apps and services together, your CRM, your email, your spreadsheets, and you build automated workflows so things happen without a human clicking buttons every time. It's incredibly popular with small and mid-sized businesses because it's flexible and relatively affordable.
And this week, a serious vulnerability was found in it.
A very serious one. Security Joes, that's the research firm, discovered a sandbox escape vulnerability. Let me explain what a sandbox is in its context. When N8N runs code or expressions inside a workflow, it's supposed to do that inside a protected container, the sandbox, that keeps that code isolated from the rest of the server. The escape means that isolation broke down.
And when the isolation breaks down,
someone with workflow editor access, so any authenticated user who has permission to build or edit workflows, could execute operating system commands directly on the server running N8N. In plain English, they could run commands on the underlying computer itself, not just the app, the machine.
That is a massive jump in privilege. That's like giving someone permission to rearrange the furniture in one room, and they end up finding they can rewire the entire building.
Perfect analogy. And the reason this matters so much is that N8N often runs with elevated system privileges because it needs to be able to talk to a lot of different services. So the process it runs as has a lot of power.
The CVE here, the official vulnerability identifier, is CVE-2026-27577. And there is a patch available right now.
There is. N8N has issued the fix. If you are running N8N, whether that's a self-hosted instance on your own server, in your cloud environment, anywhere, you need to update immediately. And equally important, go audit who has workflow editor permissions. Keep that list tight.
Daniel Ramos actually put it perfectly in this week's CTO commentary. He said to check those permissions like you're checking IDs at a very exclusive, very paranoid nightclub.
Which, honestly, is exactly the right mindset. If someone doesn't absolutely need editor access, they should not have it.
Let's move to Operation Blue Dash, because this one is going to resonate with a lot of business owners. What is happening here?
So researchers have identified an active phishing campaign. That means a campaign designed to trick employees into doing something they shouldn't, that is specifically using fake Microsoft Teams update notifications as the lure. The victim gets directed through what looks like a legitimate web page to a counterfeit Microsoft storefront.
And it looks real.
It looks very real. These are not sloppy, obvious fakes. The infrastructure is compromised, but professional looking. And what makes this particularly dangerous is what gets delivered. This isn't traditional malware in the classic sense. What gets installed are legitimate remote monitoring and management tools, specifically Level RMM and Screen Connect.
And listeners, that distinction matters enormously.
It really does. RMM stands for Remote Monitoring and Management. These are tools that IT departments use all the time, completely legitimately, to manage computers remotely, which means your security software often trusts them. They're not flagged as malicious because on their own, they aren't.
But in the hands of an attacker,
they are a wide open backdoor into your network. The attacker can see your screen, move files, install other software, navigate your systems, all through a tool that looks completely benign to most security scanners.
So what does a 50-person company do about this?
A few things. First, train your team. And I know we say this a lot, but it bears repeating. Software updates should only come through your IT department or through the software itself, not through a link in an email or a web page you stumbled onto. If someone gets a pop-up saying Teams needs an update and it takes them to a website to download it, that is wrong. Full stop.
Second,
know what RMM tools are authorized in your environment. If Level RMM or Screen Connect shows up on a machine and your IT team didn't install it, that is an immediate red flag. Have a list of approved remote access tools and monitor for anything outside that list.
All right, threat number three, the Crucifera Cryptor. This is the technically gnarliest one of the week. Walk us through it.
So Crucifera is what's called a cryptor service. A cryptor is essentially a packaging tool that malware authors use to hide malicious code inside something that looks harmless or at least undetectable. But what makes Crucifera special, and I use that word loosely, is the combination of techniques it uses.
BYOVD and process ghosting.
Right. BYOVD stands for Bring Your Own Vulnerable Driver. Here's how it works. Windows has certain very trusted low-level components called drivers. These drivers have high-level access to the operating system. Attackers bring a known vulnerable but legitimate driver to the target machine, exploit the vulnerability in that driver, and use it to operate at a level that most security software simply cannot see.
Because the security software trusts the driver.
Exactly. And then process ghosting is a technique that lets malware run a malicious process, a running program, without ever actually writing the malicious file to the disk in a way that security software can scan. By the time the file could be detected, it's already been deleted. The process is running from what's essentially a ghost.
Combined, those two techniques make this extremely hard to detect. And the campaign context here is important. This is being used in attacks targeting Indian taxpayers, tax professionals, and corporate finance teams through income tax-themed phishing lures. It's attributed to a China-linked cybercrime group.
And the proof point analysis that uncovered this makes clear that the sophistication level is significant. For business owners, the takeaway is this. Signature-based antivirus, the kind that looks for known malicious files, is not enough anymore. You need behavioral detection.
Explain what that means practically.
Behavioral detection watches what programs do, not just what they look like. If a process starts doing something weird, trying to access memory it shouldn't, communicating with an unusual server, manipulating other processes, behavioral detection catches that, even if the file itself looks clean. This is what modern EDR solutions provide. EDR stands for Endpoint Detection and Response.
And there are affordable options for SMBs. This isn't just for enterprise companies with massive security budgets.
Absolutely. Products like SentinelOne, CrowdStrike FalconGo, even Microsoft Defender for Business at the higher tiers, these have behavioral detection built in. And for a 50-person company, the cost is very manageable.
Let's hit the fourth big story quickly. Telashem, what is the short version here?
A threat actor with ties to East Asia has been targeting government entities in the Middle East using a new malware family called Telashem. The interesting piece is the command and control mechanism. C2 is the technical term for how malware receives instructions from its operators. Telashem is using Telegram, the messaging app, as its C2 channel.
And the reason that's clever is...
because Telegram traffic looks completely normal. Most organizations don't block Telegram. The communications blend right in with legitimate messaging traffic. Two other malware families, Mixed Key and a third, were also deployed in these attacks.
The business lesson here extends well beyond government targets. Attackers are increasingly hiding malicious communications inside legitimate, trusted platforms. We've seen this with Slack, Teams, Dropbox, and now Telegram.
Which means organizations need to think about monitoring outbound traffic to messaging and cloud storage APIs, not just blocking obviously malicious destinations. It's a harder problem, but it's a real one.
Before we leave the top threats, let's touch on GitHub's Dependabot cooldown, because I think this is an underappreciated piece of good news.
It really is. Dependabot is a tool built into GitHub that automatically suggests or applies updates to software dependencies. Those are the external libraries and packages that developers include in their code. The problem is that attackers have learned to publish poisoned packages, malicious code disguised as legitimate libraries, and then wait for Dependabot to automatically pull those packages into real projects.
It's a supply chain attack. You don't attack the company directly, you attack the code they're using.
Exactly. So GitHub's new 3-day cooldown means Dependabot will wait at least 3 days after a new package version is published before it opens a pull request, a request to update the code. That 3-day window gives the security community time to identify and flag malicious packages before they get auto-adopted.
If you have developers on your team using GitHub, make sure this cooldown is enabled. It's a simple configuration setting, and it adds a meaningful layer of protection to your software pipeline. Let's move to government alerts. CISA and the SANS Internet Storm Center have flagged a couple of things this week that are worth your attention. Sarah, start us with the Spring Boot heap dump issue.
So Spring Boot is a very widely used framework for building web applications and APIs. It has a built-in diagnostic feature called the Actuator Heap Dump Endpoint. The web address is /actuator/heap dump. When you hit that endpoint, it returns a file called a heap dump. Think of it as a snapshot of everything the application had in memory at that moment.
And everything is the operative word there.
Right. Passwords, session tokens, database credentials, API keys, all of it can be sitting in that dump file. And what SANS is flagging is active scanning. Attackers are probing for publicly exposed instances of this endpoint right now, this week.
So what's the action item?
If you have any Spring Boot applications running, or your developers do, confirm that the Actuator endpoints are not exposed to the public internet. They should only be accessible from internal networks. And ideally, they should require authentication even then. This is a configuration issue, not a new vulnerability, but it's being actively exploited.
Also flagged this week, scans targeting the ESA Finet CDG3 document management system for weak login credentials. This is a document management product focused on data leakage prevention, and attackers are probing for default or weak passwords.
The lesson there is evergreen, but worth repeating. Any document management system, any software that stores sensitive files, make sure default credentials have been changed, enforce strong passwords, and enable multi-factor authentication wherever possible. MFA, for listeners who are newer to the term, means requiring a second form of verification beyond just a password. Even if attackers have your password, they can't get in without that second factor.
All right, small business corner. And this week, Sarah, this one is particularly important for small business owners to hear.
It is. So the UK's National Cybersecurity Center, the NCSC, along with international partners, has issued a warning about a group called Laundry Bear. This is a Russian state-supported threat actor, and they are running what's called a zero-click phishing campaign.
Zero-click. Explain that for our listeners, because it sounds alarming, and honestly, it kind of is.
Traditional phishing requires your employee to do something. Click a link, open an attachment, download a file. Zero-click means the attack can trigger without any of that. In some variants, simply receiving the message or having it render in a preview pane can be enough. There's no action the user takes that you can train them not to take.
Which turns the conventional wisdom about phishing, just don't click the link, on its head.
It doesn't make awareness training useless, but it does mean you cannot rely on user behavior alone as your defense. Technical controls become critically important. Keeping systems patched is how you close the vulnerabilities that zero-click attacks exploit. There's no shortcut around that.
And this campaign is targeting Western organizations, so this is not just a government problem. Small businesses, professional services firms, anyone connected to supply chains for larger organizations
are potentially in scope. Russian state actors have long targeted smaller organizations as stepping stones to larger ones. You might not be the ultimate target, but if you have a business relationship with someone who is, you become interesting.
There's also encouraging news in this segment. The NCSC is offering free 30-minute cybersecurity consultations for small businesses through their Cyber Advisors program. If you are a small business owner in the UK especially, but similar programs exist in the US through CISA, take them up on it. Free expert advice is a tremendous resource.
And the post-quantum cryptography discussion. We don't need to go deep on this today, but listeners should know. The encryption methods that protect most of your data right now will eventually be breakable by quantum computers. It's not an immediate crisis, but it is a migration that organizations need to start planning for. The NCSC published a workshop report this week with guidance on how to begin that conversation.
All right, tech tip time. Sarah, walk our listeners through this one.
This week's tip is about the GitHub Dependabot cooldown, but I want to make it approachable even if you're not a developer yourself. Because if you have a development team or use software built on open source components, this affects you.
Set the scene. Who is this for?
This is for any business owner or operations manager who has a GitHub account or who has developers using GitHub for your company's software. Here's what you want to do. Step one, go to your GitHub repository. That's the storage location for your code. Step two, find the file called dependabot.yaml inside the .github folder. If that file doesn't exist yet, that's actually a conversation to have with your development team about enabling Dependabot in the first place.
And if it does exist?
Step three, look for the cooldown configuration option. You want to set a cooldown of at least 3 days for new package versions. The syntax looks something like cooldown, then open days, then a number. Your developer will know exactly what this means. The point is, you are telling Dependabot, do not automatically adopt a newly published package version until it's been out in the world for at least 3 days.
And if you're a business owner who has developers, the action item is simpler than the technical detail. Just ask your lead developer this week, do we have Dependabot configured? And is the new 3-day cooldown enabled?
That's exactly right. You don't need to implement it yourself. You need to know to ask the question and why it matters. And why it matters is that those 3 days give the broader security community time to catch poisoned packages before your code automatically adopts them.
Perfect. CTO's desk. Let's bring in Daniel Ramos from Intelligent Automation. Daniel sent in his perspective this week, and there are a few things he raised that I think deserve unpacking at the strategic level.
What struck me most in Daniel's commentary was the framing around trusted platforms. He made the point about Telesham using Telegram, Operation Blue Dash using the Teams brand, and the Crucifera campaign hiding inside drivers that Windows inherently trusts. The pattern is consistent. Attackers are not trying to break through your walls with obviously malicious tools anymore. They're walking through the front door wearing a uniform.
The technical term is living off the land, using tools, platforms, and processes that are already present and trusted in your environment, so that malicious activity is camouflaged inside legitimate activity.
And the strategic implication of that is significant. Your security strategy cannot be purely around block the bad stuff. It has to include asking, is this legitimate tool being used legitimately, by the right person, at the right time, in the right way? That's a much harder question to answer, but it's the right question.
Daniel also made a point about the N8N vulnerability that connects to a broader principle. He said to audit workflow editor permissions like you're checking IDs at a paranoid nightclub. And that principle, least privilege, applies everywhere.
Least privilege means every user and every system gets the minimum level of access they need to do their job, nothing more. It sounds simple, but most organizations have enormous amounts of excess privilege accumulated over years. People who changed roles but kept their old access, temporary admin rights that became permanent, service accounts with far more permissions than they need.
And every excess permission is a risk. If an attacker compromises an account or a service, the damage they can do is bounded by what that account can access.
The practical exercise Daniel is implicitly recommending, and I would second this, is to pick one system this week, just one. Your automation platform, your CRM, your file storage. Pull up the user list and ask, does this person actually need this level of access today? You will almost certainly find permissions that should be reduced.
The last thing Daniel flagged that I want to highlight is the Dependabot cooldown as a supply chain speed bump. His framing was exactly right. It's a speed bump on the supply chain highway. It doesn't stop determined attackers, but it introduces friction, and friction matters.
In security, we talk a lot about defense in depth, layering multiple controls so that no single failure is catastrophic. The Dependabot cooldown is a small layer, but it's a new one, and it costs nothing to enable. That's a favorable risk-reward calculation by any measure.
All right, let's wrap up. 3 takeaways this week. Sarah, take us home.
Takeaway 1, if you are running N8N, patch it right now for CVE-2026-27577 and immediately audit who has workflow editor permissions. This is not a put it on the list situation. This is a do it today vulnerability.
Takeaway 2, your employees cannot be your only defense. Operation Blue Dash and the Laundry Bear Zero Click campaign both demonstrate that. User training still matters, but technical controls, patching, behavioral detection, MFA, monitoring for unauthorized remote access tools are non-negotiable layers of protection.
Takeaway 3, start asking your development team about supply chain hygiene. Whether that's enabling the GitHub Dependabot 3-day cooldown, auditing third-party libraries, or simply having the conversation about where your software's components come from, supply chain attacks are a growing threat, and awareness is the first step.
That is a wrap on CyberShield Weekly, Volume 1, Issue 44. If this episode was useful to you, please share it with a colleague, a fellow business owner, someone in your network who needs to hear this. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss a week.
And if you have a topic you want us to cover, a question, or a threat you're seeing in your industry, reach out. We built this show for you, and we want to know what matters to your business.
We will see you right back here next Tuesday. Stay sharp, stay patched, and stay protected.